Welcome to Land Ho, a Sea Atheist podcast. Thanks for joining us. My name is Michael, and with me, as always, is my good friend Brian. What's going on, Brian?
Not much, Michael. How are you doing?
Dude, doing fantastic. What a week in Sea of Thieves. I feel like I say that a lot, but I really mean it this time. We got our second big content update, which of course is available for everybody. It's free and might as well give it a shot. And I think a lot more to talk about this time as opposed to the Hungering Deep update, which was good. But I think this time we had a longer lead time, and fortunately a lot was added to the game where I almost am having trouble keeping up with everything that was added on Tuesday, which was the launch. So I think we're going to be going over the patch notes 1.2.0. We're going to be talking about everything that was added to the game, break it down for you, see what you can do with the update. We're going to talk about our experience that we had. We actually, if you follow us on Twitter, we actually live streamed our first experience in the Curse Sales update. So follow us on Twitter. I think we might be doing it this week, like Tuesday or Wednesday. So if you're listening to us early, you could still maybe catch us this week. So we're going to talk about our experience and like what the replayability is like, some of the concerns from the community, some of the positives that came out of it, and kind of lead into what we're going to talk about next time on the show. So then we're going to start breaking down the patch notes, break down everything that was added, get Brian's thoughts on all this. 1.2.0, which was 1.42 gigabytes on Xbox, 1.01 on PC, another pretty big update. The Curse Sales campaign, this time it is a three-week campaign, which I think we both like, that there's more time to do it. And so basically you're going to see banners at the outposts, which will tell you kind of where to go. We're going to break it down a little bit more later, but there's also a side lore quest, which you can get a hint from Duke if you talk to him. And so the new threat that was added, which is skeleton ships, which more or less kind of spawns similarly to the Megalodon or the Kraken. The Brigantine, which I kind of want to talk about now since we're at it, but the Brigantine is a new ship that was finally added, which was speculated for a long time, but we've known that it was coming for at least a month or so. The Brigantine is for 2 to 3 players, and it's kind of obviously the middle ground between a sloop and a galleon. It's a little bit more maneuverable than a galleon, but with a similar firepower is what they like to say. So what were your thoughts on the new ship? I know that's what we took out on Thursday when we played.
The first thing I noticed about the ship, which I like, by the way, is that there's no plank on it, which I thought was kind of weird. So there's nowhere to like walk the plank at all. But aside from that, I was kind of intrigued by the deck layout. It's a curved deck as opposed to a flat deck. So where the steering wheel is, it kind of curves upwards and there's no like stairs or anything to walk up, which I thought was an interesting choice. I don't think it changes the gameplay experience of being on the ship at all. It's just kind of like a different layout, which I liked to differentiate the ship a little bit more. I thought the map location, the map table, it's at the front of the ship, which is kind of a weird location because all the other ships, you have a pretty easy access to seeing the map table. Like if you're on a sloop, you turn around and you look down below and you see it right there. If you're on a galleon, you run right to the middle of the ship, which isn't too far away, and you can see below the grate right to the map table. But for the Brigantine, you have to run all the way to the front of the ship, and there's a grate there that you can look down and see it. That'd be my only gripe with the new ship, that the map table is in a kind of inconvenient location. But other than that, I think that as a two-man crew, it's still pretty easy to maneuver the ship. You can have one person on the sails and one person on the steering wheel and not really feel overwhelmed. When you're doing it on a sloop, the person who's on the sails is kind of just sitting there a little bit, not with too much to do. But with two sails, you have a little bit more going on. And I thought it felt great to sail. I don't think we did any like speed tests like with the wind or against the wind. I know that the sloop and the galleon both have their advantages going against the wind and going with the wind. So I don't really know exactly how the Brigantine fits into that category. But overall, I think it's a really cool ship. And it worked out well for us when we were doing the skeleton quests.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of liked it just because I also think it's very possible to do with one person, I think, on a brigantine, which is fun, I think, especially if you're like a solo player playing for a while on the sloop and you want something different. I would feel pretty comfortable by myself on a brigantine, which is nice, especially because there's no like upper deck or anything. Like, there's not as much like moving ground, and there's only one floor. It was a little bit funny at first. It's like a funny looking boat, but I actually really like it. I really dig it. From what I was playing, it was pretty maneuverable. I'm not sure if you'd agree with that, but I think it's definitely more maneuverable. Obviously, I think a galleon is kind of like not as it's obviously has its perks, but at the same time, I really like the brigantine because it's still lower. It's just like not as bulky. It's easier to move around, especially I think for this quest. I think the brigantine was perfect for us, at least.
Yeah, easily. The galleon feels very like lumbering at times to like turn or slow down. Once you get with the wind, obviously it flies, but for like the smaller maneuvers, like pulling into an island, trying to turn on a dime, it just very like it just feels like it's you're turning something massive, and which it is, which it should feel like that. But the brigantine is like a nice medium. The sloop, you can like whip it around, and the brigantine, you still get that sort of feel where it's not like turning something ginormous, but you still get like the maneuverability of the sloop and everything. So it's like a very nice like middle ground, and so far like only positives from it for me.
Yeah, exactly. I think that was a really awesome part of the update. And yeah, again, like for this mission, I think it was great. So next on the updates, which is kind of the more interesting mechanics that should hopefully make a big impact on the game, is the alliance mechanic. So just to briefly go over what that means is that now if you go up to the crow's nest on the pennant flag, there's an option to offer an alliance flag. It's kind of like a heart flag, I think, from my memory. And there's also kind of options to join and leave alliances as well in that menu when you're up there. So pros is that, especially on this campaign at the end, obviously we're going to go over it, but like there's rewards at the end and you get to share those rewards. From my understanding, it's that if you return it, you get 100%, but then if you're an alliance, you split it, you get 50% of it or something like that if someone else in the alliance returns it, from what we have read, because we haven't really experienced the other way. So I believe that's right. But
yeah, when you return it, you get 100, and then the person who's also in the alliance gets 50, so they get half of what you turned in, which makes sense.
Right, and something that Brian and I have mentioned a lot as a concern, for, you know, kind of forcing players to play together or other crews to play together. And actually, in this update, I don't think we're forced to play with other crews. I don't think that was one of the challenges, but I might be wrong on that. There's a lot of challenges, so
yeah, I'm not sure if there's any like they make you play, but I think it is for your benefit if you play with other crews. It makes everything. Yeah, it makes things go much more smooth.
And we'll talk about our experience at the end. We kind of just want to go through all the main updates. But the bad part, or the, I don't know, risky part of the alliance is that you can still, if, let's say, another boat takes the rewards at the end of the campaign, the chests, whatever, they go and turn it in, they can leave the alliance before they turn it in. They're not locked into the alliance, so they could still kind of screw you over at the end. So obviously, like, this is kind of like the foundation of the game, right? Is betrayal and revenge and no one's safe. And but so that's part of the alliance thing. So is that true? You might be sharing the rewards, but at the same time, they could screw you over. But it's funny because I was thinking, like, sure, they could screw you over, but at the same time, like, what, like, there's no benefit to screw, like, there's nothing really, because they still, if you return, you still get 100% of the reward. So, like, there's really no, there's no motive to betray unless it's just you just want to be that guy or that girl, you know, whatever. So,
yeah, there's a lot of interesting, like, strategy decisions that you can do with this. Like, I agree there's not, like, really benefiting. You don't benefit from screwing someone over by breaking the alliance and then turning everything in. Like, you don't get any extra goal. You already get 100% of it. You're just letting someone else get 50%. And they probably helped you in the battle, so, like, why not just give them 50% of whatever you turned in? So I don't really see why you need to, like, do that unless you wanted to, like, somehow trick another crew into thinking that some of the loot ended up disappearing, like, it fell into the water and you couldn't get it. And, like, you're lying to them, like, you're playing some sort of mind game where you weren't able to collect all the loot, you only got, like, one thing, and you don't want them to know. Which, in that case, like, I don't see why it matters if they know if you'd, like, turn everything in anyway. It's a lot of interest. It's, like, a really interesting mechanic that it doesn't lock you into the alliance. But we didn't really experience that. I think we just turned our chest in and the other crew got half of whatever we turned in. Which is totally fine with me. I'm not, like, someone who's gonna always want to, like, screw someone over or stab them in the back or anything like that. We're both playing the game. We're both trying to have a good time. And if we're both in the area at the same time and we take down the ship together, like, we might as well split the rewards. I don't know how you feel about that, but, like, I think it's... Yeah, it's cool that they leave it up to the players, like, to decide if they want to end the alliance before turning the loot, but I don't really see, like, how it benefits either side.
Yeah, and the unfortunate part about this is that, like, we're really not going to see the data unless Rare chooses to share it with, like, how often people leave alliances, right? Because, like, Brian and I can talk about our experiences, and, like, I'm sure people post experiences about theirs, and we don't really know the overall, like, you know, data, like, breakdown of, like, how often this actually happens, right? Like, we're going to hear good stories, bad stories about this kind of thing, but I do think that Rare did a good job of making sure that hopefully players aren't leaving the alliance and things like that, because you do get 100% if you return it on your own. Now, if it was 50-50, now that would be a problem. So I do think it's smart that they added that part of it. And I do like the alliance part. It makes sense. And again, like, that's kind of just, again, the foundation of this game, which is, no, you know, nothing is, there's, when you get loot, this is the only game where, like, you get loot and it's not necessarily safe until you return it to the outpost. And they can't just remove that part of the game because it is part of the core part of the video game. So, I think that they're going to have to study the data. This is the first time they kind of introduced this sort of mechanic. So, we're going to have to see how this kind of plays out. And I'm sure by Forsaken Shores in September that they will take a look and see if this is something they want to keep or reiterate. This is an evolving game, and I think this is one step towards, like, an actual feature that's going to make a difference in how players kind of play together. So, or other crews play together. So definitely helpful. And we're going to talk about this later as well, but replayability, which is also going to help kind of these things too, in addition to alliances and such. Kind of a smaller update, but now there's going to be Eye of Reach skeletons. So now you're going to be sniped by skeletons, which will be fun.
It's so much fun. I didn't even know that these things were in the game, and I was, like, running on an island trying to, like, collect bananas, and I hear this huge, like, blast from the sniper, and I get hit. I'm like, oh my god, what was that? And I turn around, there's a sniper skeleton, like, 3 feet away from me.
Yeah, we'll see how
overpowered. Scared me, and I was like, what is going on?
How overpowered they are, yeah.
So unnecessary.
So now let's kind of break down some of the basics. There's a lot of limited time rewards for various things. I'm kind of read over some of the main ones I read in the patch notes, but there's going to be, if you defeat all the battles, you're going to get the Bone Crusher ship package, the Sails Hull Figurehead and Flag, and you're going to be using doubloons for that. There's World Region Sails, and there's also a special Scar and Tattoo that you get, among other. And I believe there's also a new Pirate Legend ship cosmetic as well. So if you're a Pirate Legend, check those out. So there's a lot more than
we
that.
We are not Pirate Legends yet.
Yeah, but I don't want to spoil, like, rewards for people who don't want spoilers and such. You can read them all online. I don't think we need to go over every single one of them, but from the pictures, they all look very cool. Like, can't complain about them. And there's ones for various things, so good. That's good for the game. And also, there's a lot of price drops. There's price drops on every cosmetic item in the game right now. So if you kind of like have been hoarding your gold and such, or like you just haven't spent it, because I know for like casual players, it's kind of hard to like justify like a lot of gold on, you know, a sale or something like that. So now is the time if you want to buy some of those cool sales that have been in the game since the beginning, or the limited time ones that don't require doubloons. Just commendations, titles for various things. Even for defeating one region, you'll get a commendation or a title. There's commendations in the Buildrat adventure sort of menu. It's like there's like one for defeating each type of ship. And there's also like defeating a ship on a certain ship. So like we did it on a brigantine. So like we got one for defeating a skeleton ship with a brigantine, like things like, and there's a lot. So just doing like 50 ship, like there's a lot in there. So check those out and see how many of those you can do. There's 200 available for standard accommodations and another 100 for legendary accommodations. So a lot of doubloons at stake for the 3-week campaign. All good stuff. Can't really complain. That's the gist of the patch notes and like what was added into the game. I think we're going to kind of get into our experience, but what do you think, Brian? Anything that kind of stands out from the rewards and such?
Not a ton. They just keep adding a lot of new things, which is obviously a good thing, because at the beginning, first couple months even, there was like pretty much like nothing in terms of like cosmetics and everything. And that was like one of the things that we definitely talked about a lot. Like there was nothing for us to spend our gold on. I know you like saved up like 100,000 gold or something, because there's nothing like interesting or unique that you really wanted to buy. But when I logged into play Cursed Sales, I think I bought like a new hat or something. One of the, like, just something that I thought was really cool that wasn't there, maybe like even a month ago. So it's like nice that there are things now that are actually, for me at least, worth spending my hard earned gold on.
Yeah. And there's going to be, you know, there's different types of players, right? Like this is it's a cosmetic based progression game in a way, right? Like there's obviously you progress your level, your rep. But at the same time, progressing your rep doesn't change anything except get you closer to Pirate Legend. So the main kind of progression is like getting gold, right, to buy new cosmetics, getting the doubloons from doing the live events and such. And so like there's going to be different players where, in the sense that like some players are completionists. So they're going to do every single challenge, every single live campaign. They're going to get every cosmetic because they want to collect everything. And there's going to be other players who kind of are more casual and jump in and maybe get one thing or nothing at all and save their, you know, and stuff like that. So I think it's kind of addressing a lot of different players, especially with the price drops. I think that's really nice for Rare to do for those players who don't have a lot of gold. So it's a really awesome time to like really differentiate your pirate from others. Because, yeah, as you said, like a main problem that we talked about is that like at the beginning, there was nothing to spend your gold on. Every single pirate more or less looked the same. We all kind of had similar outfits on, and it just like, you know, what's the point? Because that's really how you, this game is about building your pirate, building your character, and you know, there's no like upgrading weapons and such. It's all cosmetic. So it's good that they added just a lot, and then they also did the price drop. So hopefully we're gonna get a lot more variety on the seas, especially, you know, there's only a certain amount of sales, and now there's a bunch of different ones and limited time ones, which we've been asking for. So so yeah, no, I know I'm just reiterating, but you know, I think it's great. So let's jump into kind of our experience. So we had a major play session Thursday. I always feel like we're gonna be in there for like an hour and a half, and it just sucks. Every like time just, I don't even know how time moves.
Time's like not even a thing when we start playing this. It's just, it's like, yeah. It's coming, it's with like insane. Some expectation.
Like I think like... I don't think we even got to like the main, I think it took us like over at least an hour to even do the first battle. Like,
well, that's true, but I think we were just like both so eager to see what was new in the world that we just like completely missed
like whatever like Duke to had to say.
Like we had no idea.
We like we were totally, yeah, we want to check everything out. We totally like, there's like it was just like, yeah, it was like we were just, I don't know, we were too excited or too tired, I don't know. It's like the end of a work day, and yeah. But anyway, we finally figured out what to do thanks to some help, and yeah, because we actually we didn't get to do it till Thursday night. We went in completely blind without watching videos or help or anything like that. So it was definitely really fun that way. And what's also a very Sea of Thieves thing is there's no really concrete instructions. There's no guide. There's no like heads up display where telling you like, hey, this is the next place you're supposed to go. Like nothing. So that's sort of how this game works, and that's the beauty of it. You can go in blind and like literally try to figure it out by yourself. So it's awesome. It's awesome. And so the process, I think it's more or less self-explanatory. You kind of walk out, and so there's two separate things kind of in this game. There's the core, like, hey, like, here's where the encounters are. There's three regions, there's three different encounters, three different types of skeleton ships. You can go and do those. But if you talk to Duke, there's a side lore quest that you're able to do, which is more or less like the riddles, kind of like Hunger and Deep. And we're not going to talk. We're going to talk about that next week, though, to avoid spoilers in case. So for people to do it. So we're going to have to we'll talk about that next week, hopefully. But for now, we're going to talk about kind of the main encounters, which is kind of like what we all kind of wanted to know about more. When you get to an outpost, you walk out, there's like a banner, you will literally not miss it. And you read it and it tells you kind of the dates that the encounter appears between. So there's three regions and it only pops up during like a certain in-game date. So like one of them was like, the one we did was like between the 11th and the 20th, which was the Ancient Isles one. I'm just making sure. Yep. The Great War of the Ancient Isles. And so we went there and it kind of tells you where it is. It's like very, very straightforward, which we didn't really get at first. It's pretty, because we were like, it was like between the 11th and 20th or whatever it was. And I was like, okay. So is that like the row number in the map? And like, we didn't really get it at first. So anyway, so eventually, you know, we sailed there. It's pretty self-explanatory. It was like west of Shark Bay Cove. And we went there and it was literally there, west of Shark Bay Cove. It wasn't really that difficult to find. So let's talk about kind of the encounter itself. And I guess if you haven't done it yet, maybe don't listen to the episode, but it's really not like much kind of spoilery stuff this part. So the encounter kind of works, like you kind of get there and it's very similar to the other two main encounters, which is the Megalodon, the Kraken, literally spawns from underneath the water, and there it is, the skeleton ship. Now there's definitely a lot more you have to do to defeat it, I think, which I really liked. So that's sort of how it kind of pops up. It's literally just like the trailer. And there's five waves of ships that you have to take down. It's like two at a time, two ships per wave. I think it was every wave was two ships. Yeah.
Something like that. I thought maybe the first one was only one ship, but there might have been. I thought it was like one.
Yeah,
two,
maybe the first one
two.
Was one ship. It was like 1-2-2-2-2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a lot. It's actually a lot because these things don't go down easy. It's not like you shoot a couple cannonballs and they sink. Like they're constantly being repaired. They're constantly firing back at you. There's a lot that goes into it. You have to send people to the ship to like kill the skeletons that are respawning instantly. It's a pretty intensive encounter. So to have like five waves like that, I think it's a little much. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you thought about it. I mean, I still had fun with it. It was still like a really cool encounter.
Yeah, let's like break it down and kind of talk about it step by step, kind of how you would kind of take down and like how the skeleton spawn. Kind of off the bat, I think this is very possible to do with just one 3-man crew. I really think so. I think you need three people. I think you maybe could do it with two. But I think three is a safe bet. Three and a lot of resources. You need max out resources like every other one of these battles. I think we had help with like one other sloop or something like that. But I don't think it really helped that. Like it helps for sure. I think it makes it a little bit faster. But anyway, so now the skeleton ship. I think everyone was curious, like, how that was going to work. Like, what the skeleton... I think the skeleton ship looked very cool. I think it was very cool. It was similar to a galleon. But there's not just four skeletons on it. Like, it's four-man crew. It's literally, like, a million skeletons. It's, like, five on each... No, maybe more than five on each deck.
That was maybe, like, ten. So, oh, yeah, each deck.
They're literally operating, like, a big crew. It's literally, like, they're shooting cannonballs at you. They're making repairs on the bottom deck. And there's some on the middle deck. Just chilling, hanging out. And once you get down there, they kill you. So, basically... What you have to do is you have to have somebody on there. When you're shooting cannonballs at these ships is not enough because they are very fast at repairing. They have a bunch of skeletons. I'm pretty sure they have unlimited resources that they're grabbing from. And so cannonballs does not do anything. You have to have somebody on the boat distracting them. You have to have somebody killing skeletons who are making repairs, but then there's also other skeletons who aren't making repairs who are trying to kill you, who... That's their main job. So it's a lot down there. Like, I was down there by myself. And, like, as long as you could survive, like, a decent amount of time, it's very hard to do that. It's very hard to survive. But if you're able to, like, jump around, kind of kill certain skeletons, the right skeletons, you could be really efficient and do it while somebody else is shooting the ship. And so that happens for five waves. And there's also the curse cannonballs. I don't know if you want to talk about those, which were interesting.
Yeah, we should get into those. The ones that we fought, and again, we went into this blind. I didn't really know what to expect. But the cannonballs that we encountered were cursed with the power to make you drunk. So the skeleton ships would fire regular cannonballs, but they would also fire these green ones that when they exploded, if you were in the vicinity of the cloud that it creates when it hits your deck... All of a sudden, you become drunk, and you start, like, obviously, you're drunk, you can't really do anything, you can't make repairs, you can't, like, shoot cannons efficiently or accurately, it's kind of hard to steer the ship, so that's one way they throw you off, and if everybody gets hit at once on your ship, you're kind of screwed, because they're going to continue to pound your ship with cannonballs, and if you can't make repairs, I tried to do it, it was impossible, my guy was, like, moving all over the place, I couldn't repair anything, you're going to sink instantly, so it's best to, like, be able to, like... spread yourself out on the ship, kind of hide from those. The other ones, I think one of them makes you dance, and then another one rudder locks your ship, which we didn't encounter, but I'm assuming that makes it so you can't turn, or you're stuck turning one way, which is obviously kind of a nuisance. I don't know how long that lasts, the dancing or the rudder locking. But both of those seem very annoying, as were the drunk cannonballs. But it's like an interesting twist to the fight, because I think, at least for us, like, you were able to get on the ship and be pretty efficient in killing the skeletons while we were shooting the ship. And if they didn't have these twists for us on our ship, I think it'd be a little bit too straightforward for us to just keep shooting the ship, keep circling around and shooting it without any sort of, like, hiccup or any, like, distress that we're put in, aside from, like, repairing our own ship.
Right. I mean, yeah, like, yeah, no, I totally agree. I think the cursed, also the cursed, cannonballs were fun. I don't really have much thoughts on them. Like, it was annoying, obviously, but it makes it, like, kind of challenging, obviously. I mean, going blind, it was definitely, like, pretty overwhelming at first. Like, I felt like I really had to, like... die a lot to figure out, like, what I had to do. And, you know, I mean, I still really like killing skeletons in this game. I think it's one of my more favorite parts of the game. And so, like, I really liked getting on their ship and, like, running around and, like, killing them and trying to avoid them, stealing their bananas, eating them and such like that. Like, I thought it was, like, really fun. And I think for I don't know, like, the hardcore gamer, I think it's, like, a very fun challenge to have. And it's definitely, again, like, with these things, like, there's so much teamwork involved in Sea of Thieves with your crew, like, figuring out, like, who's going to just make repairs? Who's going to, like, steer the ship? Who's going to be trying to raid the skeleton ships and stuff? So it's a lot of teamwork. It's a lot of fun. Obviously, it gets tense
it's very hectic
it's very hectic
a lot of chaos
It's definitely very chaotic. Yeah, indeed. Like when someone's like, "Oh, the ship's sinking," you're like, "Oh my god, how can you guys let that happen?" Or it's just like, there's so, it's like, "What are you talking about? The ship's sinking?" And it's like, like it's just like so much hecticness, which is like a lot of the fun part of this game. So I think I actually like this a lot better than the other encounters. I think it's more intricate, it's more fun, it makes sense. You know, I want to keep this episode a little bit more light, and I think like next week we might be going more in depth, but like this stuff takes a long time. Like and kind of two concerns I have with these updates, and especially like this one, and even this, I think this one more so, is like it takes a long time. And not only does it take a long time, but it also it's really like a resource battle, right? You gotta have full resources, and it's like once you run out of resources, there's nothing you can do really. Right, one cannonball, you're done into the ship. Now I don't think we really ran. I know we did run out of resources at one point.
I think we were light on cannonballs at one point.
Because our boat did sink, and like I had to wait there, and you brought it back for like the last wave. You like got the ship. Yeah. So. It ultimately sometimes, and we were like max on resources, I think. So it really depends. And like, we didn't really know what we were doing at first. I think when we do it another time, like it will make more sense. And I think we'll be more efficient, right? Cause it's not even so much like shooting as many cannonballs as possible, as fast as you can, but being strategic about it, shooting a handful of them and like making sure you're on the ship and they're not repairing. Because ultimately like you can easily waste cannonballs if you're not like distracting them, making sure, because shooting a cannonball and having no one there to distract them on the ship, it does nothing. So there's the part where it's like these take so long to do, and I think for a lot of players that's going to turn off a lot of players, because I'm not saying I don't want it to be challenging. I think we obviously want this content to be challenging, there's no doubt about it, and it's a very fun encounter. But I think for certain players who, you know, either work long hours or have families, this is a weekend campaign. Like, you have to do this on the weekend. It's hard to do it during the week unless you can set aside a good 3 or so hours. It takes a long time. And I'm not sure how I feel about it yet. I need to kind of think about it, and maybe once I do the encounters another time or two or so, kind of see like how long it takes knowing what to do. You know, maybe it could take just an hour. But it just depends on who's there and happens to be like who joins your alliance, or like who, if there's other ships helping you, it could take a lot faster if there's like 3 or 4 ships with you. So as opposed to us, we had like us and like one other sloop was there like half the time. So it really depends. Though there is a lot more replayability in this update, which is great, because we had a lot of trouble last time with the last update with the Megalodon finding ships. But so I'm concerned about the time it takes to finish this. You know, there's no like going halfway or and then kind of resuming later, which obviously doesn't really work with the sandbox of this game. And then there's these battles are just like, unfortunately, sometimes it's a resource battle. You got to manage your resources. And I guess that's a good thing. Like, it's challenging, but at the same time, it's a little bit frustrating. Not sure. Those are kind of just my only two sort of off the cuff negative critical or negative feedback for this update. I'm not sure if you agree with those or you have any other ones.
Yeah, those would be the biggest things I would say about this, and it's kind of been a pattern with like their updates. I just want to say none of the updates have been bad. Like, I've enjoyed them all. They've been like great for the game, everything, that's what the game is needed. But they kind of go like a little bit too far in terms of like putting these things out there and making it like kind of like embracing the grind a little bit too much. Like, for this one, we didn't know what to expect. I just thought it'd maybe be, like, one ship pops out, you kill it, you get a title, some doubloons or whatever. But it turns out it's 5 waves, and it's a battle of attrition, and you gotta manage your resources, and there's, like, strategy involved. And if you die, you gotta... There's obviously time sailing back and forth and everything. So it doesn't necessarily cater to all the player base. It caters to, like, the people who are going to spend 3, 4, 5, 6 hours in the game every play session. Like, those are the people that are going to come in, they're going to be able to do these things, they're going to complete everything, but they have so much time sunk to the game already Whereas the casual player, like you and I, we come home from work, we want to play for like an hour or two, maybe three, and it blows past that every single time. Like, you come in, you do these things, and I thought there were like two or three waves. I was like, oh, we're almost done, right? And it's like, no, there's two more waves of two ships each, and each one obviously takes a while to take down. That's just like the nature of the update and how they planned it out. But like, just the fact that it takes so long, it's so tough to like say, I'm gonna come in and I'm gonna play on Wednesday night and still be able to like sleep before work the next morning. Like, it's so hard to like balance that. Like, I don't know how they could like improve that if they made it, because this like felt like a mini raid in like Destiny. Like, you have to sink so much time into it, but you can't pause in the middle. You can't do one wave then come back and do like another wave later when you have time. Like, if this was like the final boss battle, I guess, of like the end of the campaign or whatever, I could see that being like plausible. You do it once and then it takes like 3 or 4 hours, but then you like finish and you get like the final commendation or the final title or something. But the fact that you have to do it for three different regions multiple times each, I mean, you're looking at like 9 hours just to do all the regions, and then if you want to like do the replayability aspect, get all the titles and everything, you gotta like do it again and again and again. There's no like tiers of it. Like, if they had like one ship, you get like a title for that, then it'd be like two waves and there's like another title for that, and then it like sort of scales up, so you can choose if you want to do, if you want to sink a lot of time in, or if you want to do jump in for like an hour or two and just do like the lower level. Like, there's no scale, I guess, which makes it really tough because right. We just don't have like a lot of time to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, I think for like the first part, like, sure, I guess do this, but like, you know, it's like all these waves and there's, it's like you're making progress, right? Like, you're doing one raid and another one, but then at the same time, it's like you can't just do like one and kind of like do like one, or like, oh, I want to do like one or two waves, hop off. Like, it's like, it's either like all or nothing. And so I think there's got to be some way of meeting in the middle with like, sure, if you want to grind it, like, here's what you do. But like, if you you know, don't have as much time to play but still want to hop in for like 30 minutes or an hour, like, here's a way to do that. Like, there's really no way that like the game respects your time unless you want to sink like a bunch of hours. I just don't think it's possible. I don't think so. And it's not even so much like the time it takes from once you start the encounter till the end. It's like getting all your resources, maxing out our resources takes some time, then sailing all the way to that region, because more often than not, we spawn on the complete wrong side or something. Like, so there's those two aspects as well. Like, not even just the encounter, it's like grinding up the resources, sailing all the way over there, and then maybe there's another ship helping you, which will make it faster, but maybe not. There's a lot of factors, and you don't know. So, I think like, obviously, that's like very, you know, like, I don't love the negative parts of these. Like, this is a wonderful, I think it's a really wonderful update, and it's very fun. It's very fun. It's the most fun I've had in the game, I think. However, I think these are the problems that still exist in the game, and I think there's got to be some way to address that balance of like respecting time, like where 1 hour in the game is rewarding. If you want to put in 5 hours in a play session, you'll get those rewards. But like feeling okay to jump in for an hour and feeling like that time was worth it. Because most of the time I feel like, okay, I only have an hour tonight or 2 hours. I just don't think it's worth jumping into Sea of Thieves right now because I don't even think I'm going to finish it. Like, you know, that's how I feel, and I think that's how you feel. We've talked about this a lot, so I think this is something that's got to be addressed. However, like, it's still a really fun update, so kind of just depends. Like, it's still you know, it's year one Sea of Thieves, so the game is still evolving. I think it's still evolving. It's improving, but you know, I really still think Forsaken Shores is going to be the update to look forward to. I think if Forsaken Shores really expands and expands the game in a really awesome way, and not only expands the game within that live campaign, but after the live campaign is over, because we still don't even know how the game's going to change after this live campaign. Because I'm guessing not very much. I'm guessing that this is just going to be another Kraken, you know, kind of thing. So I'm hoping that Forsaken Shores is really the update to look forward to, that really takes the game to the next level. But I do think this live campaign is fun. I'm just worried that, and it, we'll save the in-depth discussion for next time, but what's it going to look like after this update? Because that's usually what I look forward to the most, is like, how is this live campaign, these updates going to actually impact the game on the day, on the week to week, when there is no major live campaign going on, where it's like the small ones, which, you know, are fine, but not like game changing. So
yes, so far, like most of the updates, they've come and they've went, and they still remain in the game, but there's nothing. You can still get the titles and accommodations. You just can't get doubloons. Like, we were playing and we stopped at an island to get resources, and I heard this noise and I looked in the water and there was a sapphire statue, and I just killed it quickly. And I think you got you completed one of the quests for that. It's like, these things are still in the game and the skeleton ships will remain in the game. But then it's like, there's no real incentive, I guess, to keep doing it after the live campaign is done. Like, you don't really get the doubloons. It's just like another thing that's tacked on. And like, not to be like too negative, I don't want to like say too much more on it. Like, I really think that this is a really cool update. It's like kind of what I think of a pirate, like what I think a pirate game should be. Like, you have like these ships, you have these like massive, like these mega encounters, which I think this is like a pretty epic encounter, more so than like the Megalodon or the Kraken. This is like a pretty big encounter. There's like a lot to it. There's a lot of strategy that goes into it. So it's like definitely a good move to have something like this in the game and then keep it in the game past once the 3 weeks are done. Like, this is what an open world pirate game should be. You have like these threats in the world, especially like skeleton ships like this that'll come in and attack you and you have to kill them. But like, if it's in the game, like 3 weeks go by, we're playing this game, if you're not stocked on resources and a skeleton ship attacks you, you're kind of in like a weird spot then, because you really have to prepare for this. Like we talked about, you really have to like set up appropriately and then go encounter these skeleton ships. So I don't know, like, I was kind of under the impression that these things would just be scattered throughout the world. You wouldn't have to go to a specific place. And I don't know if that's going to change once the campaign is done. Like, if they'll just be in the world like the Kraken is, and they'll just pop out and you have to fight them, or if you're going to have to go to that specific area. But I mean, to kind of remain positive, I think it's like it's a really cool update. The ships look really cool. The mechanics are really cool. And it's definitely like a reason to play, but there are all those negatives that we just talked about.
Yeah, I think we should save a lot of those thoughts for next week, where we kind of try to lay out more of like what we liked and what we didn't like. I think, yeah, there's definitely some issues, but we overall really enjoyed the encounter. I think it was the best one yet. And as you said, like, this is like what I imagine more of a pirate game is like. And I hope, and I really think it's going to spawn like the Kraken does, like after the live event, where it's just like, oh, there it is. Like, it spawned up. But I wish they were just sailing around, because I think we got to make this game more alive. But yeah, I think next week we're going to be talking more about the lore quest. So look for that. We're also going to compare, kind of break down like what this campaign did right as opposed to Hungering Deep, and maybe vice versa, what Hungering Deep did better than this one. We're going to kind of break those down, and then kind of what we think, what's next for the game. What should we expect from Forsaken Shores? What do we expect between the end of Cursed Sails and between two Forsaken Shores, what that's going to look like. So thank you so much for tuning in. It's honestly been a really fun discussion to have. If you haven't jumped into the game, I think now is the time to get back in and check out this live event. I think it's so much fun, as we have talked about. So thank you so much. You can follow us on Twitter at LandoPod for live updates, and maybe if we're going to live stream again this week. You can also email us with any questions that you have at landopod@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and have a wonderful week.